Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to this very special episode of the IGN UK podcast. Do you want to know why it's special?
Yes, that's the
Dale Driver wants to know why it's special. What about you, Simon Cardi?
I know why it's special.
Oh, go on then.
Because I'm here.
You're
it's
every
because
fucking
we're
week,
all
mate.
Here. Exactly. You're like that shitty smell that just won't go away, no matter how
smell
much
lovely.
You. I didn't say you. I said you like a shitty smell. I don't say that you, when you smell of shit.
When you said you smell lovely, even you didn't believe that statement.
You smell fine.
You could tell in your face.
Oh, it's fine now.
I'm a
hang
neutral
on a minute.
Smell. I smell like I've washed today. That's good.
You started off smelling lovely, then it was fine in the space of, 10 seconds?
I know.
Anyway, it's going to be a very special podcast this week because looking through the running order, I've not actually played or seen any of this stuff, so I'm going to be making it up as I go
I've
along.
I've got answers lovely. For you. I've got all the answers.
Have you?
Yeah.
All right then, first question.
Yeah.
How many thumbs up and thumbs down is Captain Marvel?
Oh, I mean, let's give it an even 12 thumbs up and 12 thumbs down. It's,
what?
It's okay.
Yeah.
So it's a 5 out of 10 film, is it?
No, that's, you've put me on the spot there, no.
Well, that's what you said, by making it even, that's...
Have I? Is that the... equation? I don't know.
That's the equation.
It's
I'm
a good. Do you want
to
know what I actually think about Captain Marvel? Yeah.
Yes, that's why I asked you.
I think it's a good film. I think it's fine. I think it sits in the middle of all the Marvel films. It's perfectly good.
For me, there's a big separation between the words good and fine. And you said both
really?
Of them. Then, which one do you really think it is?
It's okay. It's a good film, but it's fine by Marvel standards
because
they've set a high bar.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I think it sits in that. What range? I put it like with the. Like, I know people love the original Iron Man, but I think it's similar to the original Iron Man, Ant-Man sort of level.
I'd put it the same at first Captain America, I think.
Yeah, that's
which
sort of...
at the time I quite enjoyed, but now I think back to it. No,
I think that's the thing, right?
No interest in that film.
Yeah. The world was a different place back then.
Yes,
we hadn't
absolutely.
Had 50 different Marvel films.
I'll put it this way. It's the first Marvel film in a few that I haven't felt the urge to watch again.
Absolutely, yes.
I feel like I've seen... I know that story and it was perfectly good. And I know they had to obviously introduce this character
of course.
Before the big one next month. And it did just feel a bit like, it just feels weird at this stage to watch an origin movie for
Absolutely,
Marvel.
Absolutely, yeah. Although I do like the way they structured the origin movie. Like Marvel are quite clever with not just, it's not like linear, it's just not from A to B. It's very much starting off. With high action and then flipping back for a little bit, then going back to the future, like Deadpool kind of reminded me in its format, the way it was laid out.
Without spoiling it, it does turn things on its head that you might be expecting from this film.
So that's
from
what
the trailer.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, it's not quite by numbers. It is to an extent because she's ultimately going to become this powerful being.
Yeah.
But the route there isn't necessarily as straightforward as you might think.
So it's set back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, and it lets you know about that.
Right.
Well, you've got a bone to pick with.
I was sitting next to Cat in the cinema and I just kept leaning going, by the way, this film's set in the 90s if you haven't worked that out yet. It was so over the top. There's one bit that's just a Game Boy in the background and a phone booth.
I didn't mind it when it was background stuff and like diegetic sound, like speakers and bars.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mind music. That.
But there was one bit where they do just play a 90s track over a fight scene and it just fell out of place.
What's the track?
It is Nirvana? Just a Girl, wasn't it?
Oh, no, yeah, by Just a Girl, yeah. No Doubt. Just a Girl, yeah.
Which obviously makes a lot of sense for that film. Yeah. But
oh, I see.
There was no context for it. Like every other time they played tracks from the 90s, it was...
Any UK garage in there?
No, it was a bit early for you.
That's very late 90s. That's like 99.
But there is the thing. So they do play a Nirvana track at some point, which I'm all for because it's never a bad time to hear Nirvana.
Yeah.
But she would never have heard that song.
Yeah.
But it is in her head, which is a mad bit.
Wait, no.
She would not have had time to hear
been
that song.
6 years, right?
So, yeah. So she was... Yeah, it's not spoilers. She was around in 89 and then 95. So she hasn't been around for 6 years on Earth, basically. Yeah. And that song's from 91, I think.
There's a few little detail things.
If you really want to pick bones, but
that feels
like I said,
quite picky.
I'd
rather have a good soundtrack than
I had so many little nitpicks and things like that. But just little things that hurt me. Oh, I'm trying to think of any that aren't like
spoilery.
It is
good fun, though. I did enjoy it. It's a solid 7 out of 10. Whereas I think a lot of Marvel films like Infinity War, Spider-Man, Black Panther have been 8 or 9s for me.
Right.
I
thought Black Panther was an 8 or a 9.
I think it's about an 8.
So I thought that was a completely forgettable film.
Really? That'd be at the bottom of the higher tier of Marvel films for me.
Mm. I think when you watch Captain Marvel, you will feel like it's very similar to Black Panther. And not in any sort of tone or style.
A much better film.
But saying that, though, I watched it a second time and just didn't really enjoy it at all. Like, I don't know what that was. I think there's something about when you first see these characters, it's interesting to see what their powers are and how they develop and stuff. But when you've seen it, like, I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy like 10 times. So I go back to it because it's just a really funny, good action film.
I think Captain Marvel was caught in that awkward place of being between
two the mega series, films.
And also the, like trying to be the serious personal threads of something like Black Panther, but also trying to have the quirkiness and funniness of Guardians. It didn't really pick one or the other. It tried to blend those, and it didn't.
No.
It sounds like I don't like it. I do like the film. I think it's perfectly good, but yeah, it's just not quite what it could have been, I think.
I think the word fine is the most accurate description for it. It's just fine. It's okay.
Do you have to see it before Endgame comes out? Because obviously the last Avengers film finishes with a nod to it.
I think she's obviously a key part. Yeah. I mean,
I know nothing about the character apart from she's kind of, I don't know, Marvel's equivalent of Superman.
Well, we don't know much about Endgame, but from what has been hinted at, anything you can learn about her would obviously help your knowledge going into this film, because she's going to be in it. It's obvious.
Of course,
But in regards to like the overarching story, I don't think there's a massive amount. Like, if you didn't care about it being spoiled, I could tell you quite easily.
Well, not on the podcast. Don't do that.
There are some cool moments. Like, you find out, like, you do find a lot about Nick Fury, and you see him in a lot different light when he's younger and a bit... He's a lot more fun.
So that is... I was thinking about this the other day, actually, because they obviously did the CGI when they de-aged
It's incredible.
Him. Like, he has the whole film like that, and you quickly forget about that aspect of
that
it.
That is amazing.
It's incredible
technology.
That must
technology. Take so much time to do that.
But like, normally they do it for, like, one scene. Like, in Ant-Man, it was in, like, one scene with Michael Douglas. But this is he's in the whole film.
Yeah.
It was incredible, that part of it.
Yeah. And it was, like I said, just good seeing Nick Fury a bit raw, a bit just having a bit of fun and, not being this hardened... No, he's not bitter in the...
He is very different in a way. Like, he's definitely a young guy at S.H.I.E.L.D. who sort of still has a bit of fun about him, where he's very serious in the as we know him.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, there's a lot more to him. Like, he's a younger guy.
So in terms of... Sorry, a very technical question now.
Yeah, good.
You two are very technical people. Mm-hmm. How does the de-aging process work? Obviously, they film him as the older version. And then is it just... I don't know. So, and why does it look so much better than when Star Wars did Peter Cushing from scratch and obviously Leia from scratch, which I thought would be ropey.
But when you're doing it from scratch, you're not working off a base, right? Like, so they're only, from what I could tell, they're only doing CGI in certain elements of the face, like on the forehead and the hair and stuff like that. Like,
is that right?
There's certain parts of it that'll be, like his eyes and really stuff like that eyes. Will be maintained.
Basically just putting smooth and then just yeah, put but, a blur layer over his skin to get so rid of the wrinkles. Cushion.
That was basically like creating it from old archive footage from scratch. Like they were building human face from scratch. So it's like a video game more. Mm. So, and also, I guess in that time, technology's come on a little bit. Like it's very different when you're making a whole film about it. I always thought of Peter Cushing in Rogue One that they should have just always had him in the shadows or in the background or something.
It was fine. It would have made it back better. To camera, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just or when got, he saw him in the reflection of a exactly, glass and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
They made the mad decision to go really close on his face, which they shouldn't have done.
Yeah. Well, I thought Leia in that film I looked fantastic, but because she was obviously it's such a small amount of time, they really refined it and really worked it. Whereas Cushing, I felt it looked a bit ropey.
Yeah. And I think at that point as well, it was weird because Peter Cushing had been dead for many, many years.
Yeah.
I always wondered about the process of that. Like, they must have consulted the family. Or, oh, my voice is gone.
He's upset.
I'm so upset about Peter Cushing. I am such a big Hammer horror fan that it really has cut me to the core ever since.
Are you okay?
I'll get through.
All right. Anyway, so Captain Marvel, seems like opinion is divided.
Thumbs in the middle.
It doesn't seem like opinion is divided, but I see what you're trying to do.
What am I trying to do? I'm just trying to talk about, you know, the current things that are happening.
Yeah, okay.
Don't try and derail me, motherfucker.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Agents of the Division.
You're not hosting. You can't do the segues if you're not hosting.
Let him have his little moment of glory. Look at his little face.
I would have allowed it if opinions were divided, Albert. Me and Dale are very much on the same page.
Yeah. I'm not just talking about you two. There are other people in the world.
Yeah, a lot of people love it.
Yeah.
What did we score on IGN?
We scored
8.3.
Something out of 10.
Oh, brilliant.
It was an
8.3.
Okay.
Right. That's a little high, but yeah.
Oh, so opinions are divided. Anyway.
You write a review, Dale.
Yeah.
So this week, The Division 2 is out.
Yes.
And, well, I played a little bit of the beta when that was around a while ago. You two have played a little bit more of the full game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First thoughts?
So when I played the beta, I didn't feel overly enthusiastic because it just felt like more of the same.
Yes.
But now I'm getting the full game. I can definitely feel there's a lot of like small minor changes that have definitely improved the whole like series in general. Little things like off the top of my head is like the enemies are so much more harder to handle now than they ever were in the first
game. If you're playing solo.
I think if
or
you're
just
playing,
in general.
Yeah, no, in general, because they're so good at flanking you. Like you constantly feel like it's 360 degrees combat.
Yeah.
Right.
When the first game, you would get behind cover, and they would only, well, it felt like they would only come from one direction. But now it constantly, like me and Cardi were playing yesterday, and it was constantly, we're both in the same piece of cover, and then all of a sudden, there's one's coming from behind us, and we've got to move.
You genuinely need to think. You can't just stay bunched up. You should take different positions up.
Absolutely.
And yeah, ironically, the hardest enemies I've found so far in the games are just the little melee grunts that run at you.
Yes.
Just because it makes you have to move, basically.
Yeah. Right.
You can't just, as you said, just stay undercover and just constantly just be popping out.
I find like blind firing is quite good for them, but then when you get into a reload, it takes so long to reload in that game. And that's obvious.
Surely
because
that's down to each individual gun.
Yes.
Though, that's
so there's loads of mods and perks which get faster reload time. So obviously when you hit level 30, reloading is not going to be as much of an issue, I guess. But it feels like it takes so long. And you can't really, unless there's a way I'm missing, you can't really break that reload animation to fire.
Can't.
So if they run at you and you're in the middle of a reload,
even swapping weapons isn't as instantaneous as other games.
No.
It still takes a second. So. Right. But yeah, I'm enjoying it because I didn't play the Division 1, so I'm coming in fresh on the Division. And I'm enjoying it. It's definitely got its claws in me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a sucker for picking up knee pads.
Well, there you go. There are lots of knee pads in that game.
They've done some really like cool changes, though, with the mods. I don't know if you remember from the first game, but mods were like there were other pieces that you picked up.
Yes. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But this time they don't do that. They're like a perk. So if you unlock the perk for like a new ACOG or something, then that ACOG now will be available on every weapon it can fit on.
Okay.
So you can just mod that gun. So you're not juggling all these
I do
mods
remember
as
that
well.
Whole process of like going through the inventory and trying to max out what you already have.
That was
an absolute pain in the
ass. I still do have that problem that I had from the beta of after every single little fight, just going in, checking what's new, checking. Yeah. Like, I should just do it at the end of every mission.
I mean, I feel like before the final sort of wave, when you usually get a boss, it's good to check that because you've got some stuff in that mission that will help you in the final battle.
Yeah.
But yeah, you shouldn't be checking after every encounter. Otherwise, you spend half your game in menus.
I've spent so much time in menus, but I love it.
What's the AI like because there are some bits that we played in the beta where people would just kind of make stupid decisions and run out in the open when they were in cover.
So I haven't seen that again, but there is still those stupid guys that hold the guns sideways and just randomly walk in the street, but they feel like lower level grunts. So I was playing solo last night and there's these guys called tanks which have like a huge backpack on and tons of armor, and you can't really, you can chip away at the armor, but it takes forever. But your main damage you can do is from behind on their backpack if you get rid of that. But trying to flank that thing when you're on your own is impossible. Yeah. Like you can't, like he's very constantly focused on you. And it's not like
can you go into hiding though?
No, exactly. It's not like in Arkham, Arkham City, when you had the Mr. Freezing where you'd hide and move around cover. No, he always knows where
you are. He knows where you are, right, okay.
But when you're playing with other people, that's fine because one person can attack him, draw his fire, and then the other person hits
him. It definitely is a lot. Like, although it might scale up enemies a little bit by playing with a friend, it helps so much just having someone else as a distraction more than anything.
And also a chance to revive you because if you die on your own, you can do this cool thing where you call for backup and it will ping the server saying, does anybody want to join your game to come and help you? But you could be waiting like minutes for that to happen where you're just lying on the ground. Mm. Most of the time you end up just respawning and it takes you back sometimes before the last wave, sometimes to the start of the mission.
Right.
Which is so frustrating. Whereas if someone else is in the game, they've got a chance at least of reviving you and you're back into the game. Also, actually, if you die and the other person stays alive, then you might get sent back to the start, but you can run and rejoin them instead of resetting all the enemies.
Yeah, I remember.
It's always worth playing like co-op.
I'm finding it really fun. The shooting feels good to me.
The shooting's way better than the first game.
Yeah, for a third-person show. I know there's obviously like Gears of War and other games that have nailed third-person shooters, but it feels good to me for that sort of game. And but my God, do I not give a shit about the story.
Oh, I've skipped every cutscene.
Right.
No desire. Like I watched a little bit when we were doing the beta and I was like, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
I care about the next wave of enemies and the next loot I can get and how I can bolster my attack more.
I do worry in like 4 hours when I'm inevitably doing pretty much the same mission in a different building. Am I going to have that same urge to keep going?
So I don't know. I've only done a few story missions, but I've heard there is a little bit of variety in this time as well. So hopefully there's different scenarios. And in the first game, there was loads of bits with helicopters where they'd attack you and stuff like that as well. And people constantly dropping down. And it's always the unique boss as well in some of these main story missions. So I'm excited to see what it's
got. It was always the drive for new gear for me in the first game. Like, you know, the thing I thought it did well was organize your equipment.
Yeah.
You could very clearly see what was better. And it color grades it in terms of how good it is, but then also just the sheer number. So you could change it around. Yeah. And then, like, even when we were playing the beta, the fact that I had, like, 20 higher overall attack score, whatever it was compared to you, I could see how upset you were. It's like, my gloves are better than yours.
I mean, you can already see the gear score, like even before you've got to level 30 as well. It's quite small, but you can see it.
Yeah.
So I'm already looking at that number thinking, how can I make this number better every time?
That's got Dale Driver written all over it.
One thing I will commend it for as well, it is very easy to get in a friend's game.
Yeah.
I know that seems like a stupid thing to say, but so many games make it hard for you to join in and play with a friend, but this is just almost, you just basically just press two buttons and you're in their group.
I've just realized you've never experienced the dark zone either, have you?
I haven't. I've got my own dark zone.
He lives
there every night.
But then that was where the game like was really, that was a real hook for me when I first played the first Division. Was the interaction with other people in the dark zone.
I just don't trust other people though.
But it's, I mean, that's the whole point. It's constantly in like Mexican standoff situations. But it's really tense and really
fun.
Can
you turn on, because I'm a Division newbie, can you turn on people in your own group or is friendly fire completely off?
So I think, I'm not 100%. I think maybe you can, from what I remember. I think if you're actually in your own party, then no, you can't.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're doing things with other people, if you're just squatting.
If you team up the randoms.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can absolutely.
You can turn on them.
And it's a case of when you're all getting rid of the loot, you can absolutely. If you're just ready, the extraction's happening, you can kill them and take theirs and put theirs on it as well. But the joy of when you actually steal someone else's and then you get it and you extract it out, it's like proper satisfying.
I'm looking forward to that. And also, I think, I'm looking forward to, they said it's eight, I think it's 8 player raids coming as well later in the year. So that'll be big.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah.
I'm into it. Can't wait. Yeah. Going to keep playing more. Play at lunchtime.
It's out today.
There you go.
Oh, it is out today. Yeah.
Something else on the list. Love, Death and Robots. I don't really know what that is.
Shall I tell you what that is? That's something that's also out today if you're listening to this on Friday, the 15th of March. It's a new Netflix series, the newest Netflix anthology series, executive produced by David Fincher, who's quite good at making things.
He's all right.
He's pretty good.
He's done a few things.
Executive okay. produced means a lot of things.
I know. He's got his name on it. But also it's also executive produced and created by Tim Miller of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, cool. Nice.
And so he also founded Blur Studios, the animation studio. Yeah, do all the incredible video game trailers. They do Assassins and... Okay. Knights of the Old Republic, all their stuff. And I didn't realise that until I sat down, actually, in the first animation. I just thought, well, this looks a lot like a Blur animation.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
And it is.
Yeah, so what it is 18 short animation stories based either around love, death, or robots. Almost all of them have all three in.
Okay.
And so I saw 6 of them, so I've seen an hour's worth. It's 3 hours in total.
And then on Netflix, are they presented as individual episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, well, as far as I know.
So how long is each one roughly?
Each one ranges between 5 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
So some are a bit lengthier and high concept. There was one that was a bit like a miniature Star Trek horror episode.
Right.
There was one that was I watched that was a full-on comedy about what if yogurt took over the world, okay. which was genuinely very funny.
How does Love, Death, and Robots fit into that? Without spoiling it.
You'll find out. Maybe there's some love or death. Maybe yogurt. There's some robots.
I love yogurt.
Do you? Yeah. It'll be the death of you.
I don't think I love it. I think I just like it.
like love yogurt sounds like something that's a little bit disgusting.
That's a brand, isn't it? Love yogurt. Sounds
like man milk.
Basically, oh God. it's an assault on the eyes and ears. Like it is one of the maddest things I've watched. Some of them are a bit more tame, but they're not lying when they say basically we were pushing things. It's a hard 18, a lot of these. The first one I watched is very gory and violent. It's like a miniature monster gladiatorial fight scene, basically, with a lot of blood.
And bits are sick.
blood and bits are sick, yep. And then there's a lot of very vivid sex scenes as well, which I don't know if it's just because it's animation. They literally just go for it.
Right.
So if you're into that.
So is it hentai, basically?
Not really. It's more freed. It's like Blur Animation Studio stuff. But
you did tell me you felt really guilty about wanking in the cinema, though.
Well, you know, especially as I was seeing with people. I mean, you know, on my own, I'm fine. But
pulled your jacket over your lap. So just leave your second lens.
And that was over the violence as well. Jesus.
Is every one of them a different animation style? Because I can't think of 18 different types of animation.
From what I saw, pretty much. Some are 2D, some are 3D, some are 4D.
<That's two. laughs>
But no, I would check. I've only seen 6, and I don't know if they're the best 6 that they picked out for me to watch at the screening, right. But they were all good in their own right. Like 5 of them I thought were brilliant, and 1 I thought was good.
Okay.
But the other 12, I don't know if they'll be as good.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like definitely the enough. They're only 5 to 15 minutes. Yeah, so exactly. Even if you're not into it, it'll be over within 10 minutes.
So you can suffer through it.
That's my
mandate. just in life. You've just got 5 more minutes. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. You're not having a good time. I quite like it, but hey.
That's the love.
When does it come out? Oh, it comes out today.
Yeah, today it all drops. 3 hours
worth. Is there one particular episode you recommend starting with? Or do you have to watch them in order?
You don't know. They're all, as far as I know, completely unlinked.
So is it like Black Mirror in regards to you can just pick and choose which
some of them? Yeah, like I say, some of them are just stupid 5-minute comedy ones. Some of them are more high concept. There was a particular good one, which is, I think it's just called 3 Robots. And it's about 3 robots just walking around a post-apocalyptic city.
Right.
Where there are no humans anymore. And just talking about basically going into diners and being like, oh, what did humans use this for? But it's really funny and it has a great bit at the end that I won't spoil for people.
What's that one called?
It's just called 3 Robots.
All right. And the yogurt one, what's that called?
when yogurts took over the world, or how yogurt took over the world, or something.
You've sold me on the yogurt one.
Yeah.
Do you like yogurt that much?
No, I just like the idea of a yogurt comedy.
I can quite happily live without yogurt for the rest of my life.
I think I can as well, to be fair. I've really changed the tune, haven't I? I started off saying I love yogurt.
What's your favourite yogurt flavour?
Oh, strawberry with like actual bits of fruit in it. Okay. Like bits of strawberry in it, I think.
I used to love the, when I was a kid, the toffee hoops.
Oh, Crunch Corner. That's another
classic. Yeah, but like, that, is that pure yogurt?
No, that's no, more, that's it? A dessert. No, isn't yeah, it? That's not a yogurt.
Yeah. Oh, they do it. They do a really nice strawberry cheesecake one. It has like little white chocolate balls.
I don't think you can just beat, same with ice cream, just a nice high quality vanilla. But that says
that's
a lot about me, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's so boring.
I'm very easily pleased.
You're a high quality but yeah, vanilla man.
I was very easily pleased by Love, Death and Robots just because it was vivid, let's say that. Okay. And don't watch it with your parents, I would say.
You're the only person that lives at home.
I was going to say they're about 100 miles away, so I wasn't planning on it.
Yeah, well, recommend it to them. See what they think of you after that. Do they like yogurt?
Probably, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Watch it.
There you go. That's Carly's recommendation.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. It's fully mad.
Right, and now we are going to go back to the endless search.
Yes.
And this time, Dale, you're in the hot seat.
I am, but time was against me, so I've brought back a classic.
Excuse again, Jesus.
But no, I got some response to this one, saying people saying they enjoyed it, so I thought, why not bring it back and give it another little whirl? It's What Knob Said It, if you remember. We're not going to play a jingle anymore because we decided we're not doing that anymore. That's right, isn't
Have
it?
Have we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So lazy.
I think that joke's more its course.
Lazy because we're picking the same old game, and lazy because we're not putting the jingle in anymore.
People don't want the jingle anymore, Alex.
Who's the people?
A couple of tweets.
You need to get your face out of the yogurt and in the game.
No, the jingle, like, when the endless search is over and we find the game,
we'll get
then
a
we'll,
jingle.
We'll get, yeah, we'll make a jingle. But for now, I don't know, maybe stick we'll some make, garage in it or
maybe,
something.
Maybe it's half-assed. Something that might reach a climax at podcast 500, who knows. Ooh. We are in the early stages of planning that, so keep
in the fact that we've had a look at the
yeah we've had a look
calendar
at
and went oh that's, ooh. A, that's at a time we can't
keep,
do let's try and
keep late summer free. Oh, all of it. All of it.
It's very late summer, I would say.
Well, it's not actually that far away because it's only 20 episodes away.
That's true.
So plus all the specials that we'll have to do to fill the gap.
Yeah, to fill the gap between then and... Yeah.
Unless we go early. Unless we do it before.
Can't go early.
Don't go mad, Dale.
Exactly. What?
Come on.
Imagine if we did that. We did 500 and then we went back and did 498 and 499.
But yeah. Next week, it's 500.
It's not. Why not? It's not.
All right, anyway. What knob said it?
You.
Easy game, this one. Right. I read five quotes. Each quote, you got to try and guess the film. And if you get it, you get 5 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point.
All from films?
Yes, all from films, and all very well-known films as well. And you've definitely seen all five of these, I think.
The actor or the character?
Just the film.
Oh, should listen.
Just the film. There was an extra bit I put in last time, but I felt like it complicated.
Is there
so
a
let's
link?
Keep it simple. There is a link. Simon.
Oh,
okay.
Of course there's a link.
Are you boys ready?
Oh, yes. Yeah, why not?
First one. Remind me to thank John for a lovely weekend. Nothing?
No.
By the way, I've made it so the last one of these is practically a giveaway. Okay. So we'll always get it, hopefully. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, these are always quotes from...
No, but just you saying that. Cheers. Was that a real one?
No.
Can you do it in a funny voice so I know that you're reading the actual quote?
No, I'm doing it in my thespian voice.
Perfect. Brilliant.
Okay. Okay, for 4 points. Right, okay, there was a name in this, so I've took the name out because it would have made it too easy, right?
Then,
no,
it?
I had to.
Just get on it.
Anyway, you'll have to get used to, name redacted, he suffers from deplorable excess of personality, especially for a mathematician. Do you want that again?
A Beautiful Mind?
No. I'll read it again. You'll have to get used to blank. He suffers from deplorable excess of personality, especially for a mathematician.
Good Will Hunting?
Nope.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
No.
I thought you were
talking about mathematicians.
Okay. Yeah. I'm moving on. For 3 points. Please, God damn it, I hate this hacker crap.
Hackers?
No.
The Matrix?
No. It was, please, God damn it, I hate this hacker crap. People at home are screaming, right?
Yeah, and it's not ringing a bell.
I'm screaming inside. I just want you to put a bit more vim and vigour into your performance.
No, because then if I lean too much in performance, it'd be obvious who it is.
Come on,
I'm a chameleon.
Give it
I would sound like him.
Jesus Christ.
All right, for 2 points. It's a Unix system. I know this.
Oh.
Come on, Kai.
I don't think...
I'm shocked you don't know this by now.
It's a Unix system.
It's Jurassic a Unix Park. System.
Jurassic Park.
There we go. Alex got it. It's Jurassic Park.
Those quotes do not ring a bell for me at all from that film.
You don't
and
know...
And I apologise to anyone.
Well, they were. Remind me to thank John for a lovely weekend.
Yeah. Well, now I know. John, yeah. I mean, but that's not...
Well, I'm not going to make him obvious.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a... But please, God damn it, I hate this hack of crap with Samuel Jackson when he's trying to hack it. And the last one we didn't get to was Hold On To Your Butts, which I feel like we would have got.
You weren't going to do Welcome To Jurassic Park?
No, that's too obvious. There's a balance. There's a method to this madness. All right, it's 2 points to Alex. Jeez. Next film. Never theorise before you have data. Invariably, you'll end up twisting the facts to suit theories instead of theories to suit facts.
Inception?
No.
Interstellar?
Nope.
The Prestige? I feel like that's a Nolan line. It feels Nolan-y.
It's not Nolan line. Right. For 4 points. You know, in another life, you'd have made an excellent criminal.
Oh, that rings a bell.
Like I said, these are all very popular films. Okay, I'm going to have to move on.
Yeah.
For 3 points, I've never woke up in handcuffs before. This is a tricky one.
A hangover.
No. For 2 points.
I have.
Why is the only... Filthy boy.
I could have been arrested. Yeah. Right? Jumping straight
because
to
Because I know how your mind works, young Cardi.
You're a disgrace.
Why is the only woman you've cared about a world-class criminal? Are you a masochist?
Fifth Element?
No.
It sounds like a Batman film.
No.
A world-class criminal.
I'm moving on. This is the last one. This should make it really obvious. There is a name in this one, and I'm going to say the name.
Do it.
You have the grand gift of silence, Watson. It makes you...
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I think that was Cardi on that one. It was Sherlock Holmes.
That's ridiculous, that last quote.
We'll have to make it obvious on the last one.
But that's too obvious.
All right, okay. Well, like I said, this was a rush.
I could not name you one line from that film.
I mean, I've never seen it, to be honest.
So you're picking quotes.
There's a reason.
Popular quotes from a film you haven't seen.
There's a link. There's a reason.
Fucking Christ.
Right, okay. I've seen the next one.
Okay, good.
For 5 points, peace has cost you your strength. Victory has defeated you.
300. Gladiator.
No, to
both. We both went that, yeah. Sort of thing.
Okay, moving on. You don't fear death. You welcome it. Your punishment must be more severe.
Ooh. That sounds like something that Bane would say. Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Rises.
There you go. Cardi gets it.
Fuck off.
I feel bad about that.
No. Okay.
Come on.
That's Alex. That's it.
That's not the name of the film.
I said it was fucking Bane.
Okay, I'm not sure about that. The other three quotes were, my mother warned me about getting into cars with strange men. Tell me where the trigger is, then you have my permission to die. And the last one, Gotham, take control. Take control of your city. This is the instrument of your liberation.
Yeah, I think I might have got it from that.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have known which Batman film. Well, maybe you would have. Anyway.
Not Returns.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Honestly.
All right, next one. For 5 points. Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Sounds like the same you'd say to me.
No.
Alien.
No. For 4 points. Ah, what the hell? I don't go... Sorry. Ah, what the hell? I don't got that longer lifespan anyway.
Oh. That rings a bell.
Yeah. For 3 points.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
It is Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh. In before three as well. Since Cardi. So let me just tally these up before we go on to the last one. So Alex has got 6 points and Cardi has got 5 points.
Ooh.
All to play for.
5 Cardi, ooh. 6 Alex.
Controversial.
Okay, this is the last one.
How many points is the link worth?
As many as I need to win.
I mean, I feel like saying one's fair considering it's 5-6. All right. Actually, no, because it's
just one. It's normally just one.
Yeah, it's normally just one. Let's go with this. Anyway, last one.
But then the link's probably quite hard to get, whereas
doesn't
the
feel like it would make a big
are all
difference.
Really fucking easy to get.
Let's say 3 points and this makes it up.
Fucking
3
Christ.
Points for the link.
You gotta know the rules before you start a game.
Okay.
Or halfway
thought
through.
I thought I did.
You just gonna sit there in the dark? You're enjoying this, right? Is this fun for you? I promise I won't tell the Russians.
Mission Impossible.
Nope.
Russians.
John Wick.
Nope. Okay, I'm moving on.
I'm leaving that.
For 4 points. This is his home. We're just guests. But you don't go into someone's house and start dropping bombs unless you're picking a fight.
Inception?
No.
Ah. Oh,
That's a really familiar line.
Yeah.
I'll read it again. This is his home. We're just guests. But you don't go into someone's house and start dropping bombs unless you're picking a fight.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that really is familiar, isn't it? That's going to annoy me so much.
Okay.
Star Wars?
No. It's not. For 3 points. We're soldiers. We do the dirty work so that families back home don't suffer. They shouldn't even know that a thing like this exists. I'll read that again because I stumbled. We're soldiers. We do the dirty work so families back home don't suffer. They shouldn't even know a thing like this exists.
Oh, I know this, and it's so irritating.
Oh, this is I'm going to have to move on.
The Matrix?
No.
It's still that this is his home. That is really familiar. Go on.
For 2 points. We are dealing with a monster from a bygone era.
Godzilla?
No.
King Kong. Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island. Yes. Cardi. Yeah. So that's 2 points for Cardi. So it's 7-6 to Cardi, but there's the link to play
now
for.
It's worth 3 points.
Now it's worth 3 points, yeah. So if someone gets the link, they win.
What are the films again, though?
Yeah, so the films were Jurassic Park, Sherlock Holmes, The Dark Knight Rises, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Kong Skull Island.
I mean, they're all...
Any ideas, guys?
Well, I was going to say the directors have all done video game films.
That's not the link.
But that is true of Jurassic Park and Skull Island.
Is it something to do with Marvel? Captain Marvel?
Might be. Is it to be more specific than that?
There's cast members from Captain Marvel in all of those?
I think Cardi gets
it. It's a film I've not seen.
I mean, you know who's in it.
But you know Samuel Jackson, Jude Law, Ben Mendelsohn, Lee Pace and Brie Larson are in Captain Marvel, right?
Honestly.
Wow.
Fucking piss take.
The victor was Cardi. That final brings up to 10-6. Well done, Simon.
Thank you.
It's a sham.
Is it?
Well, let's move on to something more positive, shall we? Let's go on to
the
feedback.
Dark Knight Returns.
I'm going to fucking kick your ass so hard. Right, Callum Thorne writes in and says, "Hey guys, when I was younger, I was in North Yorkshire in the middle of nowhere. It was a pretty overcast day, but in the distance there must have been a gap in the clouds as a beam of pure sunlight had broken through."
This is very romanticised, isn't
it? Poetry, yeah.
"I saw this and immediately thought there must have been some kind of treasure where that sunbeam had landed. So he ran for 30 minutes through fields to try and get to it. Sadly, there was no treasure and everything has gone downhill since then and has since been committed." He's nuts.
I think you've added that.
I have added that.
This is definitely a joke.
I think this is in relation to people mistaking video games with real life. I've never done that.
Like 30 Callum. Minutes, though. Any 30 minutes.
That seems
not...
quite extensive. Yeah. 30 minutes.
Has anybody ever ran or driven towards the end of a rainbow thinking they might see a treasure chest?
Guaranteed people have actually.
As a kid, I used to want my mum and dad to drive towards it, but they never would.
That's because you never get there.
Yeah, I realised that as an adult.
After yogurt,
well, that's a good point. Callum.
Have you shown me yogurt?
Callum, are you an adult and do you have your own marbles? Because that would explain a lot of things.
Very judgmental.
It did say 30 minutes. Minutes, right?
That's what he said. Yeah.
That's madness. Imagine like 15 minutes in if you're running and you're just like, is this worth it?
Well, you don't know what's there. If but it's high tier loot.
You do know what's there. Nothing.
Could be some knee pads.
Also, if it's cloudy, that's going to change a lot in 30 minutes.
Imagine if it just started tipping it down halfway through.
I think he's maybe exaggerating the length of time he did this.
How dare you?
I enjoyed the poetry and the fantastical element of it.
Yes. Very whimsical.
Yes. Like you, Dan.
Never been called that in my life.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it's on to me. This is from Dan Corrigan. And Dan says, "I recently spent a year away and as such didn't play any of 2018's big games. Since coming back, I've played Spider-Man, God of War and Red Dead. Red Dead and God of War back to back. Since finishing both of them, I've found nothing to grab me. I tried Horizon Zero Dawn, but after 10 hours, packed it in because I couldn't give a hoop about anything that was going on. So my question is, have you ever played a game that was so good that after it, you just can't get into anything? P.S. Thoughts on New Partridge? Or have you caught up on the big session of Or have you been so caught up on the big session of Overwatch porn that you haven't caught it
yet?" Oh, yeah, that was in relation to last week where I talked about how...
Did you hear about this?
The animation
He's
of
talking
Overwatch
about porn.
Porn
on our podcast.
Overwatch porn, it's very relatable. I tell you, the animators on that could have done an amazing Love, Death and Robots episode.
Have you actually gone out and looked for Overwatch porn?
He's watched Overwatch porn. I'm not doing this again.
Who hasn't? Right.
Well, not me, mate.
2/3 of this podcast have not watched Overwatch porn.
Good.
But can you send some links?
You're missing out. Yeah.
Just not on the work internet. Not on the work internet.
Incognito.
Yeah.
I have actually been doing that though, ever since Red Dead.
Yes, same.
Really? No single player game has hurt me. I've just been in this weird rotation of Overwatch, Siege, Apex.
Yeah.
And now the Division. I think the Division's, it's not really single player, it's still a multiplayer game, but that's the first game that's not a pure multiplayer game that's got its claws in me since the turn of the year, really.
What about Devil May Cry, Resident Evil?
I'm a few hours into Devil May Cry, an hour into Resi, and I enjoy them, but for some reason I'm just like, it's just not grabbing me.
I can see
Kingdom
that.
Kingdom Hearts, I'm like 15 hours in. I don't know if I'll ever finish that.
That's quite a long way in.
That is quite a long way in. But yeah, still, the story, like, no story or characters have matched up to Red Dead, and I don't know if, I can't see that happening anytime soon, to be honest. Maybe The Last of Us 2.
I was
going
to say, I feel like that with story in regards to The Last of Us. Like, I often pretty much make an early decision on a game whether I'm going to care about the story or not, if I'm just playing the game for fun or if I'm actually caring. And there's not, Red Dead and The Last of Us and God of War are the only ones I can think of in recent memory I've really cared about the story.
Uncharted 4 for me as well.
Yeah, actually, no, that's true. I forgot about that.
Spider-Man,
I was skipping a lot of them. Like, I didn't mind some of them, but
honestly couldn't give a shit.
Yeah, most of them.
That's why Days Gone isn't of interest to me at the moment, unless someone tells me, once the reviews start coming out and they're like, this story is great.
Yeah.
That will get me in, I think.
But I suppose there's people like, you know, people who are big into World of Warcraft or something like that, you know, where it's the one game they play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that's what they feel like then when they finally leave that game behind, or do you think they're sick of it?
I don't think they do. I think a lot of people just stay with it.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, why you see very little migration between those massive online services, between game to game. Because if you've invested hundreds of hours of your time, why would you start fresh world unless it's a world that you're really into?
When I finished Red Dead, I wanted more Red Dead. And I did Red Dead Online, but it just did nothing for me. Because I needed the story and the characters.
The characters were the most interesting thing about that game.
Yeah,
well, like Breath of the Wild, still, like, no other world matches that.
And even Red Dead,
it's a completely different thing. Mm. Like, you know, the way that you can scale anything and do anything, and obviously you're limited by your stamina or your health or whatever. That game is an absolute masterpiece.
I similar feelings for Mario Odyssey when I religiously was playing that every day on my commute. Mm. And then since I finished that game and like proper finished it, got like all 999 moons, I just stopped bringing my Switch now. I don't bring my Switch on my commute.
That's it.
Nothing else can compare to that experience of playing that.
I did all 120 shrines in Breath of the Wild and it was just like, what else is there left to do? It's literally Korok seeds. I'm not doing that.
That's madness. Idiot. Yeah.
But like, what I would do for just more of that in that world, and I played all the expansions, but I thought they were a little bit lame.
Let us know of any games that have ruined all other games for you. IGN_UKfeedback.com is the email.
Yeah, the one we've got to say last week, right?
I've got one more piece of feedback, though, because people won't stop sending in, and please don't stop sending in.
We do want your feedback.
We want more. We want more, if anything. We can't read it all, though. Do bear that in mind. Mm-hmm.
If it's good, it'll get read.
Yeah. And some that are good still won't get read because it's limited. But keep trying.
You're not selling this. Go.
This one's from Mitch Deal. And he says, hi all, listener for 4 years, but first time writing in.
Cool. Hello, Mitch.
Very polite, Dale.
Yes.
With the new Resident Evil out recently, buzz picking up around Amazon's Lord of the Rings series and the millionth installment in the Marvel Universe releasing, which TV game or movie franchise would you choose to end forever? For me, it's The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It's a series that started so incredibly strong, but seems to have gradually gotten more tedious and drawn out over the years. Alternatively, are there any franchises that are dead or dormant that you'd like someone to revive? I want to focus on that question more because I don't want to talk about things
I'd also
I
like
hate.
To say, it's not exactly a hot take to say The Walking Dead should have ended.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think he's saying he's got a hot take.
What I'm saying is, I think everyone unanimously agrees that The Walking Dead should have long gone.
Feel like, so I watched it all the way up till the end of last season.
Yeah.
And so I got all this way and then I didn't actually bother watching Rick's Departure, which I feel is, I probably should have done.
You went a lot further than most people. Like, I stopped at season 5.
It was an absolute slog.
In 3, I think.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
It wasn't fun.
No, not at all.
Are there any franchises you'd like to bring back from the dead?
So, and he said game, film?
Anything, just franchises.
I want Burnout back.
Proper burnout.
I don't care about all these spin-off studios and creating like other versions of it.
You want a Criterion Burnout.
I want Criterion Burnout. Make Burnout Paradise 2 for all I care.
I'd want Takedown or Revenge more, that one. I don't need the open world.
Yeah.
I need the races and I need the crash mode.
Yeah.
Criterion just do other stuff for other games now, though, don't they?
Really? Well, I mean, their studio's changed so much since when they made Burnout anyway, right? So I don't think it's actually possible, but I still just want to say, I want the excitement of that name being out there again and having a new game going with that, and then hopefully following the same like ethos and sensibility what they had with that series.
I was thinking about ones that have been dead for a while that I used to love. Like, if Tim Schafer decided to make a full Monkey Island proper sequel, like the originals, I would play that so hard, Dale.
Part of me feels like Monkey Island's part of a bygone era now. I don't know if we need to go back.
I'd still happily play it.
Yeah. I just thought of another one, by the way, Dino Crisis. I love Dino Crisis as a kid, and the fact that they're redoing all this Resident Evil stuff, there's got to be nostalgia, big enough audience there to make a remake of Dino Crisis.
Is it as good as you remember?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Like, I wouldn't play it now because I bet it's shite, but I want that, the Resident Evil 2 treatment, but with Dino Crisis. I think that'd be
There's a couple of games in a series that when I was a kid, I played all the time. My dad used to play and I watched him play, but not that many people know of them. I don't know if you know of Little Big Adventure.
No.
It's like a PC or DOS game even, I think.
Okay.
They were like 3D action adventure games that had like puzzle elements, and they were slightly open world as well. They were quite ahead of their time. But if you play them now, they're still enjoyable.
Yep.
They have this isometric view and it's 3D. And I played them so much as a kid. And if they, I feel like for 15 years now, they've always said Little Big Adventure 3 might happen. It's never coming. But I want it still. I want it.
See, she's clamoring for it.
I want Rainbow Six Vegas remake. Ooh. Do you remember Rainbow Six Vegas?
Yeah.
But obviously, like, imagine the mechanics of Siege, but in a narrative-driven game, which was a little bit, you remember they teased, before Siege came out, they put out a thing, I think it was called Rainbow Six Patriots, which was...
Well, wasn't that what Siege became?
Yeah. But at the time, it was like a Siege on a bridge or something like that, if I remember.
I don't remember.
But it looked Siege like that was more narrative rather than a 5v5 thing. That would be amazing. Like a squad-based shooter that was narrative-driven, which you get a little bit of in the story missions or the tutorial stuff. But if there was something that carried it all the way through...
It'd be hard to maintain, like, using that loop of barricading, defending...
It wouldn't be that.
It would just you mean the shooting mechanics?
Yeah. Okay. And the squad-based stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that you'd have, you know, the kind of one-shot kills, maybe on the highest difficulty.
Yeah.
But just having that kind of, like, you know, the breach stuff. Like, yes, they are in that room. You've got to go in and breach it.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. But then other parts of it are like, right, okay, you've got to make your way around the level and...
I think the element you'd lose... with Siege is that it's basically a hero shooter these days, like although it wasn't really sold on that premise, that's what it's become, and you'd obviously lose that element of it.
But like you're still going too much down the Siege route.
Yeah.
I'm saying Rainbow Six.
Oh, you're saying like franchise. Making a separate thing.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about this actually when we were in Montreal, like how do they progress Siege, like apart from just doing the trajectory what they're on, which is very successful for them, but you got to think when the new consoles come around, they're going to do something, right? And do you reckon that's like up-resing it all, making
They've
it all
got to do something with the character models because they're so shy,
right? But do you think they're going to make like just re-release the game on PS5 and the new Xbox, but just up-res it all and just keep the service going, or are they going to do a Rainbow Six Siege 2, or will they do something completely
same
new?
With Overwatch though, right?
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Yeah,
yeah.
I like to think that they would create a second one with a new load of base characters, but the core is the same still, and just with improvements.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they are working on a completely new game that's got, you know, another 16 maps or whatever it might be. Because that's the thing. Like, I do enjoy it. I still don't think a lot of the new maps are as good as the originals.
Yeah. Wait, you're talking about Overwatch or Siege?
Sorry, I'm talking about Siege.
Okay. The only thing is they've said they have this goal of 100 operators.
I know they do, but that's insane. It's getting to a point now where the abilities, most of them are just useless. You go with the core
people.
They're
all iterations on other
ones. Kaid was just basically a souped up like bandit on steroids, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. But I still like love it every time they announce new operators. It always pulls me back in. But yeah, I don't know how much longer they can maintain the high. Yeah. I can only see it going down now. Yeah.
I'd love to see the data. Is that in terms of obviously, you know, in terms of which players are currently in the meta, which maps are currently in the meta, because I bet you it still goes back to, you know, the core design stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Let us know of any dead franchises as well. Keep the feedback coming. Yeah, anything you want back from the dead. Do you know what I want back from the dead, Dale?
What?
UK Garage. Bring it back big.
Yes, please.
I was going to say my dad, but...
May you rest in peace.
But let's go with UK Garage, shall we?
Yeah, why have that when you could have Artful Dodger feet?
Why have
Craig
my
David?
Dad when you could have fucking Craig David?
Why have you that when you can say Bowl Selector?
Jesus.
So yeah, our new little tradition. Please open your ears, close your eyes. This is Artful Dodger feet Craig David with Rewind, open parentheses. The crowd say Bowl Selector, close parentheses. Boom. DJ, it's all up to you. When the crowd go wild, tell me what you gonna do. It's not your story. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl Selector. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl Selector. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl Selector. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl, Bowl, Bowl. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl Selector. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl Selector. Rewind. When the crowd say Bowl Selector. Rewind. This goes out to all the DJs.
You say feet instead of featuring.
Yeah.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.